As we continue with the seven words that Jesus spoke while he was on the cross, the word tonight is the greatest word, the most powerful word, the word that touches our heart and sustains us. And this word that we're getting tonight, not only has our Lord said, I've done this for you, but he's given us the ability to feel love for one another. The word of love itself, John 19:25-27. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister Mary, and the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple John, whom he loved, standing nearby, he said to his mother, Dear woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. One thing that, of all things to come to my mind now, I remember I had a dog that our family that we loved so dear. Her name was Queen. She was a Rottweiler and had facial expressions as clear as any human being. And when she'd do something wrong and Faye would look at her, you would see that head drop and all of this, even to the point, I'm sure I've told y'all, but I'll remind you of this with Queen. Because Faye kept hearing something outside on the patio. And click, click, click on the patio. And she said, Do you know what that is? And I said, I haven't the slightest idea. I haven't heard it before. And when we went out and looked, because we've got the exposed aggregate or the stone that's on top, Queen had caught a tortoise, a terrapin. And the terrapin, she had the terrapin turned over on its back and had her paw on its belly, pushing it to make that noise back and forth out there. Faye comes out and she starts shaming her. As she shamed Queen Victoria, Queen looked down at the terrapin and put the terrapin completely in her mouth. I mean, no part of the terrapin was out. That's how big a dog was. And looking at Faye. And Faye was saying, You ought to be ashamed of yourself. And I said, Faye, I don't think she has any idea what you're talking about. She's trying to protect her plaything, which happens to be alive. Larry Vance, you get that out of her mouth. Well, I mean, I think back on that all the time. Anyway, when Queen had cancer so bad, we're at the vet, and I mean, it's killing all three of us, me, you know, Faye, Jason, and I, and the veterinarian is telling us, and he says, one thing you need to remember about animals, the thing that's important to them is they know they were loved. Well, yeah, but when he said it, we all started crying. And then the first time I saw a veterinarian say, I can't handle this, because Jason was holding her head when he gave her the shot to put her down. And it was horrible. And I thought, you know, for a veterinarian to talk about love and animals, said all they recognize is that somebody loves them. Well, how many human beings do we know that do not feel loved by anyone? And I mean, I have talked to many that nobody's ever loved me. I don't know of anybody. Remember the guy at prison that was up at the front, at the altar, praying as an inmate, and accepted Christ, and he had a skin disorder like scales from fish, and he was extremely odious. And when he accepted Christ and he was down on his knees praying, the other inmates came and encircled him and they laid hands on him and was praying. Well, when he stood up, he was crying. And he was talking about how great it was to accept Christ. But he said, "You all don't understand. Because of my skin condition, my whole life, I've never had a hug until tonight." So, and when you think about the importance of love, think about how important it is not only to feel love, but to give love and to share that love. As Jesus dying on the cross, leaving us a message, each word that he spoke was a message. Every word that Jesus spoke while walking in the human realm was a part of a message for each one of us. And the key to each one of those statements is love. If you begin life, if you begin a statement, if you begin to correct a child or correct someone, and you start it with love, then that correction is going to stay with them. Not yelling at them or hitting them or beating them or any of this stuff, but simply because in a loving manner, you wanted them to know that you didn't want them doing something because you didn't want them hurt. And when I've seen all of these kids over the years, and not all of them were children of inmates, but to see how their eyes would sparkle when they would come into the jail or prison, and I'd get out on my knees and then hug them as they would come in, and their little eyes just dancing. And, you know, when you start out like that in a ministry, you don't really absorb the ministry part until you get older and look back on it as to what difference it made. Can you imagine, out of all the hell that these disciples witnessed or the people around had witnessed of Jesus dying on the cross, everything they heard from Jesus on the cross focused on love? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, I'm not that close that when somebody's torturing me that I'm going to think that I'm going to come up with, "Father, forgive them." I might say, "Lord, if you'd put that K-bar just a little bit closer, we will be through with it." I could picture that, but think of this, the power of love. And he's looking at his disciple, and he's saying, "Take care of my mom. Take care of my mother." That was the ultimate love. Love is something you do, not just something you say. Each one of us understand that. We know that the expression of love, how many times have we heard it in our families and all of this? "Oh, I love you, I love you." Well, if we love that much, why aren't we taking care of them? All this, "I love you, I love you," and then, "Oh, matter of fact, I'll see you, you know, in a month or two. I'll stick an hour or so, or I'll come, you know, I'll do all of this with you. Oh, and by the way, I love you." No, love is action. And when you see people that are hurting, people that are down, people that can't take care of themselves, then you and I, individuals that can, been blessed by God to be able to take care of ourselves, God has given me the blessing of taking care of myself so I can take care of others. Every one of us, our heart should be focused on the love word more than anything else in our life. Bitterness doesn't do us any good, does it? Anger that we have within the heart, what good has that done us except give us a few more gray hairs? With the hurt and the pain of life that each one of us will experience, and you can only experience that, folks, if we live life. How many people do you know, and how many people have you been watching the deal about the hoarders? You watch that stuff where they hoard everything and everything. Okay. Watch that. And how many of them die in there, and they got to dig in to try to find them when they're dead. And when people say, you know, they wouldn't let us love them. I know people that way. I know people that don't want your love. They see love as a weakness. And if I allow your weakness of loving me to be expressed to me, then that means I'm weak. And I'd always tell those type of criminals, I said, you're not very smart anyway. If I was you, I'd go ahead and look weak, because you've just been sentenced to life. You're going to stick around in here for a long time. So I'd be making friends, not enemies. Okay. It is a choice, love is, and it is an action. You know, it's not possible or probable, and this is something that you and I need to think about. That goes back to the idea of, okay, God, who do you have planned for me for marriage? Well, God gives us each individual. This is not something like when you get into marriage, you get into friendship. Folks, I'm sorry, but no, God doesn't just have that one person out there for you. That's not scripture. Because just think of it again. If everybody in the world, because are we not the fallen nature? Are we not human and we make mistakes? So God then has picked a special mate for each of us. Well, what's going to happen if Bob or Randy or me or Norman marry somebody else that God didn't pick for? Doesn't that sort of throw it off for the whole rest of anybody that's ever born? Because that's the human choice. God gives to us. He will lead us. He will direct us to that spirit. He'll direct us to the one that our spirit is able to love and to understand. And the best thing about marriage, we don't understand each other anymore after 40 or 50 years than we did before, because you and I are individuals. But what do we have? We have a friend that loves us, and that friend that loves us, we become a part of each other. But that's still the freedom of choice. God did not have planned marriages, folks. That's the, the Hebrews did, didn't they? And God didn't start it that way. When he created Adam and Eve, I guess that'd be the closest to it, wouldn't it? Yeah, and look how they messed up. Think of that one. Look how okay. But love, then, no matter how you look at it, love is the key for all of it. When you can love a whole lot of different people. I love a world of people, folks. Yeah, I mean, you can have love. And I mean, when I was in the third grade, I was in love with at least two or three girls. And as a third grade, and I didn't even know what it meant, love. But to get, yeah, I looked at it. You think back. How many times don't you love the people that you're around? Because that's why you're around them. Because you love being around them. And when something happens to them, doesn't it break your heart? Why? Because you love them. So our Lord is showing us something powerful with the word love. While in the state of dying for us, he is showing us all the power of the word love in every different direction. So directed towards the Roman army, directed towards Pilate. Oh, you could do nothing with me, Jesus said to him, unless my Father allowed you to do it. He's even letting Pilate off on that one. And think about it. He focused more on the love part than he did on the get back part. To him, there was no such thing as getting back at somebody. You know why? Because his Father said, I would that no one should perish, but that all would come to know me. Now, to love like Jesus, which is the way we're supposed to grow into. I'm pretty far away from it now. Are you all about being able to love like Jesus loves? You know, it's hard to love when the person you're wanting to love is truly lovable. And most of us aren't that lovable. Did you ever have a bad day? And doesn't that mess up the lovely attitude? Evening preach. Love. I'm sorry, honey. I had to pick on a little bit. I needed a little illustration there. Okay, number one, if I'm going to love like Jesus, learn to care for your family. If you can't love in your family, then what's going to happen? But you learn to care for your family. Simply stated, he's talking about taking care of your family. Take care of your family. I am to take care of my mother, 100 years old, 29th of this coming month. I take care of my mother. I am not expecting my mother to take care of me. She had her chance to take care of me when I was born. And I'm still around. So now, through love, it's not an obligation. It's love. But each way that we love one another and different people, there's so many different types of love, folks. People say, well, you're not in love with them. Well, it's according to what you mean about in love. See, all of that stuff can be played around with, but the key word still remains love. And as you love, you'll receive love, right? If you go in and you express love, what do you feel? You go in and start a fight and see what happens. Three things you must do for your family if you want to love like Jesus. This is just for your family. First thing, love pays attention. Y'all make sure you get some copies of these out somewhere. I think the points are good on them. Love pays attention. Attention is the greatest gift you can give to somebody, right? I mean, the most important thing to an individual is time. It's my time. And, you know, most of us, when you wake up, your time's already taken. You've got a 28-hour day ahead of you. And then you might move that up to 30-hour day before it's over. So time is that important. Love pays attention. Another word for attention is respect. I do not give people respect because they respected me or do respect me. I give respect because individuals are created in the image of God. Each one of us have so many faults. Therefore, whether an individual respects me for who I am or what I do has no control over me respecting their right to have that attitude against me. Now, do you fall in love with that attitude? No. But is it not? Do you discount someone because they're, as we look at them, they're messed up? Gosh, folks, all we got to do is look at ourselves in the mirror, and we can. How many hours can we spend doing that, lecturing ourselves? Okay, Exodus 20, verse 12: honor your father and your mother. And there's one in Matthew that Jesus says, and he who does not should be put to death. Who curses mother or father will be put to death. I'll give you a little tip on that, though. That translation deals with meaning your outward, how people will see you is dead. Your character, everything about you then becomes dead to others. I don't know of anybody that's just putting people to death because of disrespect to parents unless they're Muslims. And they're killing everybody. Okay, second thing. If you want to love like Jesus, love provides for needs. I'm obliged to take care of my mother. I'm obliged to take care of my family. And I'm obliged to take care of whomever else that God puts in my care. 1 Timothy 5:3-4. Show respect for widows who really are alone. Now you all catch this. Show respect for widows who really are alone. Again, it is so heartbreaking when people truly are alone. But the people who can, see, marriage is only for down here on earth, folks. It's only during the time. Why? So we will have a partner. We will be able to have somebody that we can talk to. It's what we need in the human existence. But watch out, because, and our church gets it all the time, people that really are not in need, but really expect you to take care of everything for them. And then when I talk a little bit and ask them about the situation, they could have two or three men living there, and I say, that's the end of it. If you've got that much help inside the family, they need to be taking care of you. It wasn't family member. Anyway, but if a widow has children or grandchildren, now listen to this, they should learn first to carry out their religious duties toward their own family, and in this way repay their parents and grandparents, because that is what pleases God. Meaning that you were never to go to the church or go to the temple and ask for help as long as you had a relative out there, and that relative was supposed to step in. The closest relative was to step in and take care of the family. Our family units are so destroyed anymore. You have no idea what is going on. So the only thing that we can do today is depend totally on grace. And hopefully and prayerfully that we extend that grace to others. 1 Timothy 5:8. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, you see that? And especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Gosh, that's a powerful statement, huh? Here's the third thing. Love gives emotional support. Proverbs 17:17, friends love through all kinds of weather, and families stick together in all kinds of trouble. Now, I remember doing a study on this with you all on this statement. This is out of the Message. But friends love through all kinds of weather. This was a focus of, in other translations, it says, during adversarial times within your life, then the true friend will stick close to you as a brother. Remember that one? Okay, here's the translation of that. During these times, the hard times, that friend who expresses love to you becomes your brother. He becomes your brother. I know a lot of brothers that's not going to stick to you, right? But it's the ones that go through the adversities of life with you, they become family. My family is not biological. My family happens to be spiritual. And every child of God is a part of my family. That's why we have the fellowship. That's why we have the church. That's what the body of Christ is about. We are the family. Now, it just so happens that maybe our biological family are saved. Well, they are a part of it. But you know, when it really comes down to it, when people say that blood is thicker than water, and I say, you better believe it. And the blood of Christ, for every Christian will stick us together no matter what goes on in our life. That's what the Christian is supposed to do. It's the responsibility of each of us. If because of the problems of life that I can't get up out of the ditch, or someone else can't get up out of the ditch, it is not the responsibility, and it is disgraceful for a Christian to condemn another Christian. Do not condemn. Jump down in the ditch. Put your arm around them. Love them and try to drag them out. Here's the problem. Many will not accept your love. You don't have a right to allow your care, concern for a relative or any of that. You do not have a right to turn your back on a Christian brother or sister who is hurting when you got a relative that's nothing more than a bum. That is not the way God set it up, and He is watching. To love Jesus, you must, this is number two, the other way are the three things. Treat other believers as family. Almost just said that, didn't I? Huh, wonder where I got it. Treat other believers as family, 1 Timothy 5, 1 and 2. Do not rebuke an older man and the church, but appeal to him as your father. Treat the younger men as your brothers. Treat the older women as mothers, and treat your younger women as sisters with all purity. Love purity. The heart, the truth of God. The truth of God, love. The pureness of God, love. Everything centers around love. Romans 12, 10. Be devoted to each other like a loving family. Now, have you noticed that Paul is saying like a loving family? Who's he talking to? The church. Be devoted to each other like a loving family. Excel in showing respect for each other. Let me tell you about the motorcycle gangs and all the other gangs that I've dealt with over the years. They're made up of losers in society. And their bond is strong because they see themselves as family. The families they never had, or you look back, where did they come from? How many times were they beaten? How many times were they raped? How much evil had been in their life? And not excusing anything for their corruptness or illegality within our society. But I say this, the reason they joined the gangs because they're missing a key element of the family, love. You got to have the love. If the love isn't there, the child will not come back. Okay, Galatians 6:10. Whenever we have the opportunity to help anyone, we should do it, but we should give special attention to those who belong to the family of believers. Well, I thought the Lord said that He shows no partiality. Let's get that part of the scripture right too. He does say that. What's He mean? Just what He said. When it comes to heaven bound, when it comes to the love relationship, He shows no partiality. You come to the saving grace of Christ by accepting Him as Lord and Savior. Just because you're a likable and sweet individual is not going to get you to heaven. He will not show partiality. Just because you go out here on your own and you feed the world, do all these good things without Christ, it means nothing. Now, people say, well, it means those people got fed, did they? When you feed them without giving them the hope of tomorrow through love of Jesus Christ, I hand them a loaf of bread and say, y'all go ahead and have some good sandwiches, but now don't come around here because, you know, you're just not going to fit in. I've really, really, really lifted up the Spirit of Christ, haven't I, to do that. Okay. Galatians 6:10, Galatians 6:2, share each other's troubles and problems, and in this way obey the law of Christ. The sharing of each other's troubles and problems happens to deal with when you see somebody that's hurting. You don't laugh at them like Pastor did. What you do is you deal with it. When you see somebody that is down and hurting, what do you need to do? You don't go over and say, let me cheer you up. You don't even know what happened. Maybe they just had their favorite animal die. And you're going to say, look, I want to cheer you up. You're going to get popped. You ought to. Folks, that doesn't work. When you see somebody is hurting, hurt with them. That's love. Hurt with them. To love like Jesus, you must see others' pains when you're in pain. Do you ever get around, you know, you start telling somebody, well, no, they're hurting. Well, you know, I had that one time. And I can tell you, so you never get finished telling a prayer request or lifting someone up because they're letting you know, well, yeah, but they never hurt like I've hurt. You know, they really don't know what pain is. Okay. See others' pain when you're in pain. When you're in pain, that means that you're breaking on the inside. It also means that others around you are breaking. You don't know what pain they're having physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually. So what you do is not bring attention to yourself. Well, let me tell you what you need to do, because that's a dumb statement. We don't even know what we're supposed to do half the time, or if we do, we're not doing it. So, Philippians 2:5, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. I would say that he was hurting pretty bad on the cross physically. Y'all go along with me on that? A lot of misery going on there. And what does he stop to do? Make sure his mother's taken care of. 1 Peter 4:1, since Christ suffered and underwent pain, you must have the same attitude he did. You must be ready to suffer too. For remember, when your body suffers, sin loses its power. That's a sermon in itself. Powerful one, though. When your body suffers, sin loses its power. Remember this about sin. The reason God hates sin so much is because it attacks his children. It's worse than Ebola. He sees that sin in that child's life, in a loved one's life, he sees the ugliness of how much that sin hurts. And he realizes that because of that, he had to die on the cross to conquer it. But when your body suffers, sin loses its power, is a focus of when you and I truly hurt, we are commanded by God to go to our Savior, read his story, pray to him, and in the process of doing that, sin has no power over you. Sin cannot control us now that we're Christians. That's why Jesus died, folks. He already wiped it out. He already wiped death out. We just got to go through this stupid process and go on. Okay, he's already conquered it all. But he says to us, when you're hurting, that means God's paying attention. Don't we remember that God watched as his son hung on that cross and begging him, my God, why have you forsaken me? Which translated for us now is daddy, daddy. Now you hear your child yell daddy, daddy, or mama, mama. What would we do? Are we going to be dead with them, or we're going to wipe out everybody trying to mess with them? God stood back. Now we know the reason he stood back is because of love. That love that came from the heart of his son. His son being the only one that is now worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. He's the only one. Why? Because he showed love to us before time began. People say, I can't grasp that. I can't grasp any of this stuff at all about love, but I do believe it. Number four is our last one. Meet others' needs, even when yours aren't met. Oh, isn't that a hard one? Meet others' needs, even when yours aren't met. I got a loaf of bread. You don't have any. Can I share this loaf? Oh, by the way, I'll take my part of it out and put it in a bag over here because I don't care if it does get stale. But here, you take it and we'll tighten it back up so yours won't. That's love. It is others' needs. Do we see it? And God has blessed us with the ability or with the means to be able to help, and you don't help? That's not love. That's greed. Romans 15, 2 and 3. Each one of us needs to look after the good of the people around us, asking ourselves, how can I help? Okay, here's something don't do. Now listen to that. Asking ourselves, how can I help? When you go up to someone and say, how can I help? For one thing, they're embarrassed to tell you. They're embarrassed. Okay, it is, you just help them. And you make them feel good that you're helping them and not feel like they're getting a handout. You help them, and in the process, you're extending Christ's love for them. Now look, you and I have been given a blessing that no other human being, none outside of Christianity, can have. We have been trusted and entrusted with the love of Jesus Christ. And God is watching. And as He watches, you ask yourself, how can I help that person? Or they're not embarrassed and they don't know that I'm doing it. How do you do that? Romans 12, 13. When God's children are in need, be the one to help them out. Get into, I hate this word, habit of inviting guests home for dinner or if they need lodging for the night. During this era, when you're seeing this, many of you know were starving. Man, it wasn't like it is today. Let's go down the refrigerator and get us a snack out or any of that. So as Paul is talking to the church, he's saying, be one to help them out. Get into the habit of inviting guests home for dinner. Our society in which we live is a dangerous society. It was here during this time for sure with the Romans. He was talking to the church. It's like saying, take care of your members, for they are not all the members of this church the children of God? Are we not the family of God? When we have our fellowships down here, there's never anyone selfish with it. We watch people take stuff home with them, and that's okay unless they get all the butterscotch pie. But we watch it as it goes along. What do? You love. I love to see it when I see the kids come down and look over there and have no idea who these people are. But that's okay. I see the twinkle in the eye of the child, and I know that they're happy. And I'm so thankful that our church was able to play a role in their life. And that child smiled. That's just like God looking at you and smiling.